My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Welcome to Those Forking Fangirls, where we talk all things nerdy, book, TV, movie, pop culture, fandoms, and how they integrate into our adult lives. I'm Christine.
And I'm Natasha.
And this is episode 26. Today we're talking all things hyped, and we're chatting about hype in general. How do things come to be hyped? Why is the instinct when things become hyped for people to shoot it down? And we're going to discuss things that have been hyped for us. And we took a poll from our listeners and got a bunch of hyped things from y'all. So we're going to go through the list. It's going to be a fun, lighthearted time. And first, we're going to move on into our Snap Crackle pop culture news. Got a couple things today, nothing too intense. The Summer I Turned Pretty has a release date. Natasha, are you excited for season two?
I am. I've been rewatching season one and I can't wait.
Yeah, I already rewatched season one and I had the best time. I'm so excited. It's just such a cozy, heartwarming show.
I'm team Jeremiah. I need
oh my
to
God.
Happen.
All the way. I'm in love with Jeremiah.
if I was back, like, you know, reading this at like 16, 17, I probably would be the other dude. What's his name?
Connie.
The other brother.
Connie.
Conrad.
Conrad. But yeah. They call him Connie. Yeah.
I would have been team Conrad.
He's so annoyingly broody, though. I always
love the broody characters, though.
Just speak your truth. He just keeps not saying it, and it's so long. It goes on so long. They're like, what's wrong? What's wrong? You can tell me. And he's just like, nothing, bye. Anyway.
Communication.
Communication is important and very valued in our day-to-day lives. And we just got the information a couple days ago that Speak Now, Taylor's version, is coming July 7th. So that's going to be here so soon. It's going to come before we know it. It's going to have 6 songs from the vault.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you to everyone who sent me the Instagram post on Instagram because I did not see it until I saw those. Got really excited. There's been a bunch of rumors circling about Tay-Tay dating Matt Healy, I believe his name is, from the 1975, which has been interesting. I don't know what's going on there, but recently, they both said like the same sentence on stage, not into the mic, but like you could see their mouths moving and they both said something like, oh, this is for you. I love you. You know who you are. This is for you. And they both said it and it's so weird and it feels so, I don't know. I don't want to say like performative. But like almost like too weird after all of the Joe songs we have and how recent this breakup feels. So I don't know what's going on.
Nicole says feels like middle school cringe.
I mean, thing is, whatever problematic things he said in the past, like I'm sure he has grown since then if they are dating, because I've heard a lot of people saying like he said all this stuff about Taylor and it's like, yeah, but he was a youth and we all grow and evolve, and learn from the stupid stuff we say when we're younger. Even in 2016, like he was 26, 27, and you can still say dumb things all your life and learn from them. So we gotta give some grace there.
Shot says apparently there's other artists that said the same thing too, not just both of them. So maybe it's Easter eggs or something else.
Maybe. Yeah. I saw some people thinking that like maybe they did a collab together on Speak Now and it's kind of a call out to that. We'll see. Nothing's confirmed. It's just been all over the Taylor sphere lately.
Yeah, well, because it was like Taylor and what's his name again?
Matt Healy
are dating. And then, like, 2 days later, they broken broke up.
I know. And then it was like, oh, my gosh, Jack Antonoff set them up. They liked each other. That was another headline on Twitter. So we will see. But that's what's happening right now. We're going to move on into what right now. But before we do, we want to quickly thank y'all, the listeners, for being here with us. And
yes.
Remind you that you can follow the podcast for free on your favorite podcast listening app. You can subscribe for free on YouTube if you enjoyed the visual version. If you are on YouTube, it really helps us out if you give the video a like, comment when you hear something that it sounds like you're interested in and you want to comment. We love your feedback. Mm-hmm. If you want to support the pod on the podcast apps, you can leave us a review. If you enjoy the show, you can tell a friend that you think would like the show about the show, which is always super helpful. Word of mouth is the best way to find out about things. And we also have a Patreon if you want to support us in a bigger way. We do a half an hour extra show called Fangirl Tea Time every single week that's available at the $5 tier on our Patreon. And we have a great time doing that and digging a little deeper.
Super fun.
Yeah, into more personal things. Natasha, what else do we have?
For the $10 tier, we have an extra show. We just did our AMA last month, so if you have not listened to that, go ahead and listen if you are a part of Team Edward and up. And then this month, we're doing a New Moon movie commentary. So we're going to watch New Moon, and we're going to talk about it, and you're going to watch it with us as we talk about it. So that's going to come next week or the week after. And then our $15 tier, you guys have seen, we have we take a guest. So be a guest on our show if you're in the $15 Pulse Bananas tier. And we have a guest every single month, and it's super fun. And then we also have our fangirl bonding sessions, yes, which are also once a month on the last Saturday.
Those are so
of
nice.
Every month.
I feel like we're just like getting weekend. To know each other, and it's so nice. Like now every month, I feel like we're just like a gathering of friends, which is really fun.
It's super fun.
That's available at patreon.com/thoseforkingfangirls, or there is a link in the show notes. All right. Thank you so much. We appreciate your support. This is a listener-supported show, and we could not do it without you. All right, now we move on to what right now. Natasha, what have you been reading this week?
I'm still listening to Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. It's a little hard to get through, yep, but I'm making it through.
Nice. Good effort.
Thanks. I've just not been in a reading mood.
What TV shows have you watched this week?
Have you read anything? No?
No, I haven't. I've been writing, so I have not been reading as much. Honestly, I've been rereading bits of Happy Place with my eyeballs, and I've downloaded like 5 different samples of different books to read because I haven't found one that's caught my interest. I think I just did, though, by Kate Solomon. Is that her name?
Hmm.
But someone, the one tomorrow and today and tomorrow she wrote. I'll tell you next week when I'm more than like 10 pages into it.
Okay. But
I've downloaded so many samples and I actually really liked the first 10 pages of this book, so I think I'm gonna buy it. All right, tell me about what you've been watching.
Okay, I watched 4 shows. I'm going to quickly just go through them. So I watched Love and Death, which is on HBO. It's with Elizabeth Olsen. Really, really good. It's about this woman. They did a whole show on it on Hulu already, but they redid it for HBO, and it's about like this woman who's a housewife who kills another housewife, and we don't know, but it's a real story. Just Elizabeth Olsen's so good, and I love her, and her face is so open and emotional. So she's great. Great watch on HBO if you want to watch it. Okay, binge watch Queen Charlotte in a day. And everyone's like, oh, have you watched it, Christine?
So I have watched the first episode in about 10 minutes of the second one. The pilot episode was very good. And I was I went through a very broad array of emotions watching it. And I would say that I was more engaged in that pilot than I was in the pilot of Bridgerton. That opening scene, the actress is so good. And that opening scene in the mm-hmm. carriage with her brother got me head over heels for her immediately. I was like, I love her. And I want her to succeed in every aspect of her life. And knowing the character of the queen in the future, it was just like, she's doing such a perfect job.
Yes. The whole show is that good. I do have to warn people, think it's going to be another Bridgerton fluff show. It's not. It's very emotional. It's anytime you are dealing with royalty, their lives are sad. But it's also... it's also fictionalized. So, and you see the queen in the future, you're going to start with their love story, and you see what's happening, in Bridgerton with her husband and the Mad King George, what the fuck happens to get to there? So it's sad.
And it's really fulfilling in a way, having not known their backstory but known where they mm-hmm. are now, and just watching Bridgerton and seeing this world they live in, to see what it was like when she walked into it, because it's different, and we're seeing how it became the London we see in Bridgerton, which I love, because you keep saying that it's not real. Bridgerton's not real either, it's fictionalized history, but it's real for the Bridgerton world, which is
It's an alternate universe. My friend asked me, she's like, is this blind casting? I'm confused. I'm like, no. So technically they have a reason why it all happened. It's because of Queen Charlotte, they tell you in the first episode. So it's not blind casting. It's just an alternate universe that they live in history.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's very well done. And I'm excited to watch more.
Yes. I will save my other two for next week's episode that we can talk about.
Okay, so let's go on to movies. We both saw the final Guardians this week.
Yes.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, and it was so good.
So good.
I don't want to say much about it because I feel like talking about the array of feelings in itself is a spoiler for this movie. I would think if you're on the fence about seeing it and you've seen the first two, you gotta watch it. It's so well done. James Gunn did a really great job with that movie and really put us through the ringer. And at the end of it, you feel so good about it as a mm-hmm. finale and so satisfied. I'm so glad they got him back. And I feel like they were like,
me too.
If you come back, we're going to let you do this and this and this and really walk the line of PG-13 and Disney. He walked that line. It was like he set that line on fire.
I watched several interviews now where he said, this is the movie I wanted to make, because this is what he thought at first, and he's like, well, I have to do these two, and then I need to get to this one, and it just all comes together, and the movie's just so much fucking fun. It's so fun. It takes you on a roller coaster of emotions, and it's just amazing. It's great.
It's very, very good. And I have been watching and rewatching a lot of rom-coms this week, but I watched a new one because I asked y'all on or whoever's on Twitter, I asked for rom-com recs because I just wanted to see if there's any that I'm just not thinking of that I want to rewatch. And three people recommended this movie called Only You from 1994 with Robert Downey Jr. and Marissa Tomei. And I was like, wow, I love those two actors. Why haven't I ever heard of this? So I went and rented it on Amazon for $3.99. And it was just like, it started off cute and fun. It also has Bonnie Hunt, who plays the woman in Jumanji. You'll recognize her if you don't know her name. But for the first 20 minutes, I was like, why do I love her? Why do I know her? And then it finally dawned on me. I was like, Jumanji! Jumanji is a great movie. If you haven't seen it, highly recommend. Anyway, so this movie, I said to the premise, like the opening scene is young Marissa Tomei with her brother, and they're using the Ouija board, and she's like, I need to know the name of my soulmate. And they ask the Ouija board and then find out his name, and it's like Bradley something, I already forget, but she writes it down. And then a couple years later, she goes to a psychic. Yeah, a psychic. And she's like, what's the name of my soulmate? And she says the same name. And then we fast forward to like 20 years later and or 15 years later, whatever. And she's just getting engaged and she's not like super enthused about it. But she says yes because she figures she doesn't want to keep waiting for this guy with this name. And then we fast forward to 10 days before her wedding and she gets an RSVP phone call from like one of her fiance's friends, and she's like, oh, okay, let me just take down your name, what is it? And it's the name.
Oh boy.
And
oh,
he's not my. Gonna be able to come. He's in an airport about to fly to Venice, and so she hangs up the phone and runs to the airport, and Bonnie Hunt is like her best friend and comes with her, and they basically spend the movie chasing down this guy.
Oh my gosh.
It's just like the most ridiculous. Like, I really want to like go into detail about how ridiculous it was. Like, I had fun watching it, but there were so many moments where I had to pause and be like, oh my God, this is so stupid. This is so stupid. Like, the dialogue in some moments, like, I can't even take it. It's so ridiculous. Like, when she meets Robert Downey Jr., I can't. And then it gets, and then it like, the ridiculousness goes down, it becomes really self-aware, and then it just shoots back up again.
Oh my gosh.
It's absolutely ridiculous. And all this time, let me just tell you, we just like forget about her fiance. It's just like, he's not even in the picture.
Oh my gosh.
It's so ridiculous. So if you want to watch a very ridiculous movie and you like Robert Downey Jr. and Mr. Tomei, it might be fun to like watch it knowing that you're going to make fun of it. But it's when I was watching it thinking that I was like, oh, these actors are great. And then I thought it was going to be silly but self-aware, but it wasn't in so many moments. It was so serious and so ridiculous. I couldn't. But yeah, that was Only You. All right. We're going to move into our main discussion. But before that, we have a word from our sponsors. Those Fucking Fangirls is supported by Mantis Sleep. Sleep is so important, and it seems like it just gets harder as we get further into adulthood, which it does.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't think about how a sleeping mask could help you have a deeper, more restful sleep, but it studies have shown, and just using it has shown, that it's really helpful in getting through the night without waking up. Studies have shown also that sleep masks can improve cognitive learning and alertness, which is all very, very helpful in your day-to-day life.
Yeah, Mantis Sleep, they're all about the pro-nap movement. A nap is more effective than a cup of coffee, although I'm drinking my coffee right now, for your health and for your energy levels. And what makes it easier to nap than a portable, comfortable blackout curtain, complete with razor-thin Bluetooth headphones? Christine is going to show you how it goes on your face. Mantis Sleep makes the world's best sleep mask, and they provide 100% blackout for deeper sleep, and they're infinitely adjustable. especially for Christine's tiny face.
Yes. Most things like this fall off my face, but it has like two layers, and so it's completely adjustable. And it's a luxury sleep mask, so it doesn't like press up against your eyes. It has these beautiful eyes.
You can like move the little eye things so they go over your eyes.
Yeah, and it's perfect for times where, for example, when we went to the UK and we were in these little hotel rooms where the sunlight streams in the morning and we're trying to sleep and we both have our different sleep noises. Like, I was putting in my AirPods every night and it would hurt my ears. They'd fall out in the middle of the night. And like, that's how you lose your AirPods.
But yeah,
this is the Manta Sleep Sound Sleep Mask, and it has the built-in Bluetooth. And so you just have to wear your sleep mask to listen to your sounds, which is perfect. And it doesn't hurt your ears. It's got these easy tabs to adjust the sound. And
they slide back and forth, so like wherever your ears sit.
Yeah. And it makes it so much easier to fall into a peaceful sleep when you're sharing a room or a house with lots of people.
Yes. So like, I really found that I love using it when I have family visiting or if I'm house sitting, because I used to do like the whole AirPod situation. And then if you've slept with AirPods, you know that they like push into your ear and you'll wake up in the middle of night and your ear is going to be sore. It's because I'm asleep on my side. But these help so much to like drown out screaming children, which usually happens in the morning, or like cats, because when I house it, usually house sitting cats, and they're like climbing and jumping all over the bed. And so it's been so nice like putting it on and going to sleep when I have so many interruptions in the house, or I'm sleeping in someone else's room and it's just like different noises and there's like slivers of lights coming through because maybe they don't have blackout curtains, and so the noise doesn't hit your face in the morning. And then I usually play like rain sounds.
Yeah.
Or like my deep sleep playlist.
Yeah, whatever your sounds are, you can play it through your mask. And it has a 20-hour battery life, and there's no audible battery notifications when it's dying, so there's no beeping that wakes you up when it starts to die. It keeps you in your peaceful sleep. And I love that it comes in a nifty bag for travel. Mm-hmm. And if you're looking to find a more restful, peaceful, deep sleep, restful, peaceful, deep naps, you can head over to mantasleep.com to check out their mask selection. And you can use our discount code FANGIRL for 10% off your order.
Yay!
Yay! Now back to the show. All right, we're going to move into our main discussion, stuff that is hyped a lot. Now, I want to precursor this discussion by talking about hype in general, because things get hyped because people love them. Like, people want to share the joy of whatever is bringing them so much happiness. So I feel like a lot of the times when we're seeing things that are hyped over and over again, you start to get mad at it and like cut it down. And what you're doing is like, I don't know, it's innately negative, that instinct, because you just don't want to see something get too much attention. And I want to keep that in mind when we're talking about these things. Like, I don't want to be mean about anything that is like a direct insult to people. So if you like any of these things, love these things. And I think I hate the term overhyped, because it's always not the thing's fault that there's so much hype about it and that you just didn't happen to enjoy it. Yes, Katie said people throw rocks at things that shine. Perfect quote from a Taylor Swift song. But they do. And once something becomes big enough as an entity, people, especially if it's a person, people don't view it as a person anymore. That's where it really gets me, when people are like, this person is overhyped. And it's like, dude, that's a human being.
It's just, I think there's a little bit of like jealousy in there, and you know, maybe like they want to be at that position and like, oh, why are you giving all of the hype to this? And then why aren't you giving the hype to this? Mm-hmm. And it's just us humans loving the things we love.
Yes. And it is like part of our also like human range of emotions that we do have that urge, because like there's other things, and that jealousy is something that you might not clock immediately, especially when you're younger. That's when that comes up a lot, I feel like. That like, why is this being so hyped when this, or like, I want to be there and da-da-da-da. And I think it's just something to stay conscious of before you go, you know, being like, this is overhyped, this person shouldn't be getting this praise and all that stuff. Or just, you know, clock ourselves and take a deep breath. Because mm-hmm. people are just really enjoying this person or this content or this book or whatever it is. So we've each got our list of things that are hyped that we may or may not like have, you know, lived up to the hype for us. And I think that's a much nicer way to put it. Like, this just wasn't, I just didn't understand this hype. It's not for me. Rather than like, this is overhyped, nobody look at it. It sucks. that sort of ordeal. So we've got a list from the listeners, a list from Natasha, a list from me. Natasha, you want to kick us off with something that has been hyped for you that may or may not live up to the hype?
Yes. So this has really changed for me, but my number one thing is all denim pants, okay? I just don't wear jeans anymore. And honestly, it's because of the pandemic. I don't want to wear something constricting. And especially as like a plus size woman, like they're not comfortable. I would rather wear cool, fun velvet pants or a skirt with bike shorts underneath or leggings than denim pants. Not my thing.
Yeah. So this was most definitely the pandemic. After we stopped wearing denim pants, it was like, why would I want to wear denim pants? Right? But now denim pants actually makes me feel like I'm going somewhere. Like they make me feel like I'm like going out. So like I wear them sometimes to make myself feel awake. You know, it's kind of like, you know how you feel before you put makeup on sometimes, where you just kind of feel like sleepy and indoors? So jeans for me is another way for me to be like, I'm doing something. Like I'm getting out of the house. I do like the look of jeans a lot, but I totally feel you. Like when I get in the house and as soon as I sit down, I'm like, I'm stripping. I don't want to be wearing these.
I've really found so many other ways to feel like I am ready to leave the house. And I think like a really easy, like I love wearing like wide leg sweatpants, like black wide leg sweatpants. It has the same feeling of denim and like you can still look put together. I've really mastered the whole sweats out in public thing. Really good at it. And now, like, especially with Gen Z with their, like, turtlenecks under their sweatshirts, which honestly came from the 90s.
Excuse me. I do that all the time. I've been doing it my whole life. I'm wearing it right now. I wore it yesterday and the day before.
I have to buy, like, the little Dickie sweatshirt things because I get too hot underneath. But, I just, no. There's no need for denim in my life.
I can't believe this. You just said a Gen Z thing was turtlenecks under sweatshirts.
Well, they made it hip again, and I thank them.
Excuse me. I've been making it hip again my whole life. Excuse me. I feel looked over.
All right, Christine, what's something on your list?
All right. The first thing I have on my list is so random, but it's the show Manifest. And people didn't start to like this show so much, I think, until it came on Netflix and everyone was binging it.
Yes.
But this show was very much marketed to be a new Lost, and it really didn't live up to that caliber of storytelling for me.
No.
I'm sure it's enjoyable for those of you who enjoy it. I just, like, after obsessing and studying Lost, it just doesn't hold up the same way. Maybe also it's better if you binge it because it's one of those mysterious shows.
And it was going. I tried to I mean, I tried to binge it.
Oh, you did?
Remember we went to the Comic-Con panel?
Yes, we did. We did go to the Comic-Con panel.
Because I was obsessed with Once Upon a Time and Josh Dallas is in Manifest.
And I'm obsessed with plane crashes.
And we're like, this is intriguing. And I think I recorded a few episodes, but it's like, it's so weird because it's such a primetime TV
series. It's such a network series in this day and age, like where it's not as good as the streamers.
And I remember being at work and people talking, like everyone was talking about Manifest. Like, you have to watch Manifest. I was like, I know what Manifest is. I was at the Comic-Con panel. Like, calm down. And then I should have known with the Orange County moms telling me to watch Manifest. I should have known.
The thing is, like, if you've watched Lost, it's so much better than Manifest. So it's hard to, I feel like, in my opinion, it was very hard to get into Manifest. I tried really hard to. I watched like 7 episodes and I was like, this is hurting me. So I didn't continue. And I'm sure it has its pluses and the reasons why people love it. I just don't. And so the people I know who love it have religious trauma. Interesting. Well,
I have religious trauma.
I love things that dig into like religion stuff, and it wasn't doing it well. I know what you're talking about. Anyway,
yeah.
All right, Natasha, pick something from the listeners list. What do y'all think?
Oh boy, oh boy. Oh, the one that got my blood boiling was aesthetics like cottagecore and dark academia. Come on.
I can see where they're saying cottagecore is overhyped because I honestly don't understand it to the level that people love it.
I feel like when like the core things, like when the aesthetics started getting popular in like 2020, it was a way for people to escape in the pandemic. And honestly, like, it's like all of those aesthetics have created avenues and opportunities that really weren't there on the internet. And for people to be like, yeah, wait, I do love this stuff. And this is definitely something that I see myself doing. And it like gave it like a name, you know, instead of it just being like people wearing flowy pretty dresses out in nature.
It gave them a like a community to circle around.
And that way you can find other people who also like the same thing.
And I think folklore really brought a lot of people's attention to cottagecore. Uh-huh. She dove into that head first with that aesthetic.
I do see, though, like literally every brand jumped on the bandwagon to be like the cottagecore collection. Like, and it just being like all white fluffy dresses and corsets. I love that shit. Like, I am a proud member of cottagecore, princesscore, like all of that core. Okay. And I love my dark academia too. And like, I think you can be more than one thing, and it's great, but it is annoying when like corporations jump on the bandwagon and like just kind of blow it out of proportion.
I'm going to pull another one from the listener list. Dating is hype.
I agree.
Just thought this was hilarious because dating isn't a thing that goes in and out. It's literally what people have to do to find a partner.
I agree, though. It's overhyped.
I don't agree at all because it can't be overhyped. It's just like a fun thing to talk about. There's no hype around dating. It's just what people are doing to find a partner.
No, what if it was just like everyone becomes friends and then you find your partner through a friendship?
Instead that of takes just so fucking long and people would be left out. Just
no,
like
because
every time
you
there's
would
a friendship,
no, I don't
it doesn't turn into something romantic.
Okay, but a friendship, you know more about that person than you would just dating and being like, let's get to know each other in like 2 weeks and figure it out.
That's not what dating is. What are you talking about? You're acting like it's like Bridgerton. Let's see each other twice and get married.
No, because Because you've already, okay, through a friendship, you've already done the legwork.
But what are you arguing here? Like, friendship is hyped enough? Because this happens all the time, too.
I'm just giving an example other than dating to find a partner.
Oh, but people do that. But for people like me who have a really hard time making friends, I need it to have a label of dating so that I understand that this is like, you like me. Because if I have a friend, we will just be friends forever. I will never know for sure if they like me, and nothing will ever happen. So
true.
This is why the label dating exists. So like, we both are on the same page when we go into this, instead of like a lot of times with friendship, one friend likes the other friend. The other friend doesn't like that friend, and it goes on forever. And one friend gets more and more upset because this isn't turning into anything, and ends up in sadness.
True.
It's just a way to like have ground rules. And I would love to have had like a friends to lovers situation happen in my life, but I feel like it's really hard, especially if you're shy, for that to like come to fruition.
Yeah. The funny thing is, I just had this conversation with Heather, and because she's like, "Oh, what state are you? Have you opened up the apps yet?" I was like, "No, I don't want to." And then we kind of agreed that since I'm really good at making friends, that I should just start making more man friends and see how it goes, and like start it off that way, because I fucking hate the dating apps.
But the thing is, you're going into it hoping for a date, and then like if it doesn't lead to a date, it wouldn't be innately disappointing. And this is the
That's
thing
true.
Like, even growing up, because I was like afraid of boys, whenever there was a friendship, like, I'm programmed to think like, will they like me? Because I'll end up liking them if they're a good friend, you know? Mm. Like, and it took me a long time to like learn to just like not view it that way, because
that's true.
It gets weird pretty quick, and I'm like nervous and weird. Mm-hmm. Like, if that's the situation that's happening. And I feel like that was like, all growing up, I always had that in my head, which is why I couldn't be friends with boys, because I was like, oh, like, do I like them? Do they like me? Like, all the time. Angst.
Angst.
But yeah, it's all depends on personality. And I don't know. I just don't think like friendship, I don't think dating could be like overhyped, because it's just a label for like what's happening. I don't know. It was just a weird thing for me to see. Los Angeles is also on here. And
I get that, though. I do.
I get it, but I don't think it is.
No, I think for people like in who are young and they want to move there, because I definitely felt the same, even though I'm only an hour and a half away or an hour away from LA. It's like, it's this place that has so many opportunities, and you want to go, and then there's, you know, not everyone will get an opportunity if they move here. So I get it.
It's a place where you have to work, and you have to work really hard to like get into your opportunity, to find the opportunities and to get in the door, just like every other, like New York City, just like every city, honestly. But in terms of cities, I think LA just has also just a lot to offer in terms of like fun stuff to do and see. Mm-hmm. And lots of different landscapes. Like, there's just so many different areas that look so different. And right outside of LA, there's so much. Like, you can drive to lots of different, like, the desert, the ocean, like
the mountains where there's snow.
It's all here. We've got it all. But I know what you're saying. Like, it's hyped as like a place to go be, but I think it lives up to what that idea is if you want it to. You just have to like put in the effort.
Back to dating, Shot says maybe they meant dating is overhyped, with people stressing you need to date all the time and always try to find a partner, while it's totally fine to not be dating at all.
Yeah.
Times.
I see what you're saying there. Like, as a society, there's just so much pressure on us constantly to find a partner. And I understand why. I think it's a lot of older people who have found a partner and have had happy lives, and they want to spread that joy. That's how they have joy. And
spreading joy for all to hear.
It's just like everything else we hype. Like, we want someone to do it because it brought us so much happiness, and we want them to find the same happiness. And there's nuance because people are different, and not everything. True. People can find happiness in other ways.
Okay. Moving right. on.
Moving on. Natasha, give us something from your list.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. I'm trying to figure out the funniest ones I can do.
Just one.
Okay, I'm just going to say socks.
Socks? Socks are amazing.
I knew you were going to say that.
Socks, Christine, are my favorite.
You know I don't love socks because I always have to borrow yours.
Socks are not overhyped. They're everything.
They are. Okay, I'm going to tell you why they're overhyped. Well, you love to hype them up.
Okay, I hyped socks before socks were hype. I feel like I created sock hype, even though I definitely didn't. I'm like Ross Geller with Jurassic Park.
I always have warm feet. Like, my feet are, unless it's like freezing winter time, I'm a hot person, okay? I don't need any extra warmth or layers to be warm. And I don't think socks are always necessary. I like my feet to be sockless, okay? I don't like sweaty feet. I don't like to be hot. And especially when it's summertime, the last thing I want to do is sock up my feet and stick them in boots. Like, hell no.
The last thing I want to do is ever take off my socks. I know. I never want to touch the floor. I never want to touch anything. My feet are always cold. I hate having to take them off for sandals or fancy shoes.
I love sandals.
I want my socks all the time. And I love collecting weird socks. I love these black socks that I have from Amazon. They are the best. They come in like packs of six, and they're so cushiony and comfy. If anyone's looking for good black socks, just Google black socks on Amazon, and it's the ones that look like this. They have gray toes.
I do have to say, I think it's the Californian in me who's like, sandals everywhere. Like, literally, we would just go to high school throughout the entire year and wear flip-flops. Like, I would wear flip-flops every day of my life.
That's cray cray to me.
I know. Well, I don't do it as much now. And I have to wear my, like, you know, supported shoes. Yeah. And socks to Disneyland.
I saw flip-flops on your list. And yeah, I haven't worn flip-flops in like 10 years because they give me feet cramps. And also, yeah, I hate my feet being so exposed to the world. One time I stepped on like an area that had glass and I was wearing a flip-flop and I like felt the glass, even though it didn't like get in my foot, like something hit me, you know, like on my foot. Yeah. And from then on, I was like, am I dying? Did I just get a disease? Did it get in my foot and I can't see it? And I just never wanted to wear sandals again after that.
I used to be a big flip-flop girly, like I just said. Now I'm a proud owner of Adidas slides. Those things are like pillows, and I think they're way better than flip-flops.
Those are all the rage in high school. For cheerleading competitions, we all had our Adidases that we slid our feet into before we put on our cheerleading sneakers.
They're great. I don't like sitting down to put on shoes. I just like being like, whoop, whoop, out the door.
And you know what I love about those? You can wear them with socks.
Yes, you can wear them with socks, and I do it. It's a little harder to grip.
Shoebies.
Okay. You go.
All right. Okay. Biggest thing I feel that are overhyped, but everybody loves them, is flowers. I fucking hate flowers. I don't.
And you have a whole video on this.
I a whole video on the Plum Bananas XX channel from 2011. Okay. I think that's a long time ago.
I remember it.
I don't ever want to be gifted flowers. I would 1,000% rather be gifted socks. First of all, I don't want them in here. Like, they're just gonna die. I don't want to feed them. I don't want the pollen. I don't want their smells. And they just die, and I have to throw them out. And I would love a bouquet of socks. So for one of my birthdays, John for my birthday, made like this sign when I opened the present. It was like, it's time for sock apocalypse. And he just got me all different types of cool socks. And it was I actually got a bouquet of socks for my birthday. It was so cool. But anyway, yeah, like I have my fake sunflowers in my house and I love the way they look and I love that they're fake and that they'll never die and they're just always here for me as a pretty decoration, but I see no reason for real flowers in my house.
I do love flowers. Like a lot.
Sorry, Ash just said, do you like dried flowers? I don't know why I would want dried flowers.
Dried flowers are cool. They do shed a lot sometimes.
I feel like I would just break that.
Yeah. Well, there's like cool little bouquets you can get. They're pretty cool. They're like very boho chic. I wouldn't recommend, honestly. Not for your vibes. I love flowers. I think a offshoot of that I think is overhyped are plants.
Because they're not as pretty babies.
As flowers.
Okay? I can see the aesthetic of it. It feels like you're in a little forest, though. It's nice and green.
I'd rather have flowers in my house. Oh, I have fake plants. I have real flowers.
I love fake plants.
Yeah, I do love fake plants.
Of any kind. But yeah, when I get flowers in the mail, also a lot of times they won't come when a vase, or if they do, like, what am I gonna do with that vase? Would I hold the flowers for a couple days and then I throw them out?
It's for people who constantly have flowers in their house. I have about 10 vases.
Can we just talk about, so for Natasha's birthday, was it Heather that made all these beautiful flower arrangements?
Yeah, I mean, it was both of us. Like, we went and got the flowers and the vases and stuff.
Okay, so they're beautiful. I'm not arguing with, like, flowers not being beautiful. But I hate flowers on a table because they block everyone's faces. And I can't see anyone when we're talking. It might as well be in school when you, like, put up your folders between a test.
Yeah, like as the night was going, I'm like, can we move this flower? I should have just done. I love the little small vases with like one little flower in it. Like, I should have just done that.
Nicole, this conversation is hilarious to me. I thought when you said overhyped stuff, I was expecting movies, TV, and books, not socks and plants.
I don't think I have any movies or TV. Oh, I do have a director. I have one movie.
Yeah, I just, like I said, I don't love pointing out, like, movies, TV, books as being overhyped because I know they're just hyped because people love them a lot. And I don't want to, like, shit on that. And those are, like, stuff like flowers is so big that I don't feel like I'm individually, like, hurting something that like brought someone so much joy that they can't, like, they're gonna be upset. But like something like flowers, it's like, okay, everyone universally loves flowers, they're like universally great, but I just don't like it.
Okay, so someone put Disney World and Disneyland.
Oh, I knew you weren't going to like that one.
Here's the thing. I am a Disneyland girly. I am not a Disney World. I do have to preface this. I've never been to Disney World, but I just know I'm not going to like it. I just know I'm not going to like Disney World, okay? I grew up going to Disneyland. I'm going to tell you right now why Disneyland is better than Disney World. And a lot of people agree with me because Disneyland is more smaller and intimate, where it's not as big and like grandiose as Disney World, and like the castle's not as big. Cool, got it, understood that. However, it's way easier to get in and out of the parks. I can just walk across the promenade and get to another park. If people are staying, they don't have to, like, you know, travel 30 minutes by bus or by like little air thing to get from their hotel into Disneyland. Yeah. Like, it's way easier to get around. The weather, 100% better. The only reason why I'm not, have never been to Disney World is because I can't find the perfect time to get myself there when the weather's not fucking hell on earth.
Let me just speak on Disney World for a second. Okay. As someone who's went to both and is very cynical of the whole situation, Disney World is a nightmare. Need at least an hour just to get your ass from the start of the park into the park.
Oh my gosh.
Like, you have to take a tram or a boat to get to the entrance of the park, the monorail, and then you get to the park and you wait on a massive line. So the thing about Disneyland, I went to it after being going to Disney World like 10 different times. So I knew Disney World very well. And then Disneyland is like you wind back the chaos level, like I would say like 50 levels down. Like most of the people going to Disneyland are season pass holders and they're like casually walking in. You just literally walk up to it and go in. There's no train of different like automobiles you have to take to get in. And then before you do that, you also have to take like a tram to the park. You have to park and take a tram to the park to get to the fucking monorail. Because most people, a lot of us don't stay on the grounds when you go to Disney World because it's expensive and annoying. Yeah. But so whereas when you walk in into Disneyland, it's like this chill, like no one cares too much environment because you go in and out all the time and you're just like enjoying it. People at Disney World are all like, I have to get my money's worth and do everything ever in a day. So you're like completely engulfed in a chaos stream of people who are so determined to do everything that they will like run down the world.
Sounds so unappealing to me. It's like why I've not been to World, especially when I spend so much money at another Disney park. It's like, I don't even like, I just don't want to, I don't really want to go. Like, I want to go to like to say like I've been and like experience some of the cool attractions. But at the same time, I am not an attractions girly. Like, I am a season pass holder who goes in and gets a bite to eat and hangs around and enjoys the vibes. And then I leave.
You know what's good for you? Like, the best part of Disney World is Epcot. Yes.
Yeah, I'm very excited to do Epcot.
Epcot is great. It's my favorite part of the Disney World atmosphere down there. I haven't done Animal Kingdom since Avatar, so I do want to go see that.
Me too.
But as a conglomerate, I do think Disney is a little scary. And it's not, especially Disney World, like, I feel like I don't need it. And it's very chaotic and all of the food is the same. I just, there's all these little places throughout the parks where you can get like quick food. And I know some people that are like, oh, let's go here. And I'm like going to all these places with them for the first time. I'm like, everything's the same. The food is all the same at every place.
Where? In World or Land?
World, Hollywood Studios, all of that. Yeah,
the food is way better at Disneyland because it's way easier to get new food in and out because of the whole travel thing. So
that
like,
makes sense. But yeah, Disney World, I was like finding it laughable because we'd go to like Pizza Planet or this place, and it would just like be the same menu or like, oh, the pizza's so good here. And I'm like, that is the same pizza I had at the booth near the hotel today.
Yeah, they don't have a lot of variety.
So, but they're, yeah.
We could go on.
But let's keep moving. Oh, should I pick one from the list here? Bucket hats is on the listener list. I've never understood the draw of a bucket hat, but I did have some when I was like in third grade.
Me too.
They were a thing in the 90s. And when they started coming back, the first time I saw it, Emily in Paris was wearing one. And I was like, why the fuck is Emily in Paris wearing a bucket hat? And then everyone started wearing bucket hats again.
I look good in hats. I don't like a bucket hat because it makes my head look small.
They just look very silly to me. They look very silly. Gabby said she likes that bucket hats cover her ears. And do they? Do you have to pull down the flaps though to cover your ears? Or is it just a bigger hat? Shot said, I think it's cute on kids. And I see that. It's cute on little babies. Little babies with their bucket hats.
And that's where they should stay.
Ash said, I think it's because the K-pop idols really love wearing bucket hats. Maybe they really brought it back. Okay. Something on your list, Natasha.
La 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 la. Okay. Thongs.
Like actual thongs?
Like actual underwear thongs. I will never wear a thong.
I feel like they were overhyped in middle school when girls would like hike them up and like their low pants. So you just like see thongs all the time.
I don't care about that. I hate thongs because they're uncomfortable. Like no matter how you wear them, like I am a big connoisseur of the granny panties movement. I do think this has something to do with being plus size because I like full coverage sucky in underwear, and a thong is just kind of just sitting there. I don't like that. I feel like it just slides around, especially like the front bit. Like what am I supposed to do with that? I hate thongs.
Yeah, and I don't care about underwear line shows. Love a thong. But I wear it with like fancy outfits because some my underwear line will like really show and like ruin the outfit. Or if I'm wearing like white pants, I have to wear like a nude thong to like not completely see through my underwear. Like they're like a necessity for some of my outfits. So I have like three that I pull out when I need them.
I think that's just different bodies because usually I don't care. And I'm always wearing Spanx or something. So it always smooths it anyway. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah. So I my underwear will just show through most of my like regular undies. So I have ones that I really like are called Hanky Panky. And they are the most comfortable thong I've ever worn. It's like a thick lace band. It's not like a string. But I do have a string one because sometimes you can see the fucking hanky panky. But those ones I've found are the most comfortable and don't get up your ass because.
Do you wear them when you work out?
Ew, who wears a thong when they work out?
So many people wear thongs when they work out.
I don't know if you just heard, I only wear them with fancy outfits when I need to.
I know, I was just making sure.
That's disgusting. That feels unsanitary.
Yeah.
Because you're like sweating into the little thong and then that thong's going up your ass because you're like moving around.
It's a staph infection.
That sounds like an infection waiting to happen. Like a urinary tract infection. All right. On my list, I have pomegranates because they were super hyped for a while.
I've never had a pomegranate.
Suddenly got popular. In 2006, 2007, all of a sudden, pomegranates were all the rage. They're not that good.
I've never really had one before. Like, I've had, like, a pomegranate margarita, but that's about it.
Yeah, I've had, like, the flavor of pomegranate. Because when you eat it, you have to, like, eat the seeds or something. Like, you have to eat in a special way. Yeah, and it's hard to eat it. So I never got into it, but my friends used to like have the pomegranate seeds and I just didn't understand what was happening. Maybe it's like, I don't know. Yeah. Maybe if you grow up eating pomegranates is like not a big deal, but since they came into my life when I was like 16, I was so confused.
Okay. Something from the listener list. Bookshelves organized by color.
I found this hilarious because, like, what do you mean they're overhyped? This is the best thing I've ever done.
Same. Because I loved your shelf for so long. And then when I put, like, mine up on the wall, it just doesn't look cohesive. Like, I needed it to look cohesive to, like, make my brain settle down. Because I looked at it and I was like, ugh.
Yeah. Because you're not going over every day looking for a specific author in alphabetical order. Like, that's not helpful to your aesthetic life. I saw Kat organize her shelves by rainbow in, like, 2013. And I changed mine in 2014 to be rainbow and never went back because it makes me so happy. Like, this makes my eyes happy. I keep pointing to my own. If you're listening to the podcast, my bookshelf, my iron shelf, has been rainbow organized since 2014, and it is so beautiful. I don't understand why this is
why anyone would ever hate their rainbow shelf organization. I just don't get it.
Probably because, like, people, I mean, people would do it all the time. And they would be like, watch me, rainbow, organize my shelves.
I guess also not everybody loves a colorful aesthetic. The neutral tone aesthetic is something a lot of people enjoy. Not me. I find it very bland. But a lot of people, I feel like people who like a minimalist look really enjoy a neutral tone.
They'll like turn the books around so you only see the pages.
Yes. I went through a phase where I had a shelf like that, but I also had the rainbow shelf across from it. but that's really a pain in the ass. Like, you really can't find anything when your books are flipped around just looking at the pages. Like, you can't see the spines. You can't think it. You can't see anything. Also on this list, we have Ben and Jerry ice cream, which I kind of agree with that it's a little overhyped because none of the flavors are... I can never find something that I like because there's always something in it that I don't like because they put so much stuff in every flavor. I prefer Häagen-Dazs because they have banana.
I prefer Tillamook because it's just the best, I think, quality of ice cream. And they don't have
that on the East Coast.
Well, because, yeah, it's from Portland. Tillamook, like, cheese and Tillamook ice cream and Tillamook Elite. Yes, Nicole.
Yeah, well, they didn't have that growing up. They had like they everyone has like Häagen-Dazs and Ben and Jerry's, I think, but like Tillamook is a here thing. Like, I love their cheese. I get it for my sandwiches.
You can have the ice cream. It's really tasty. My favorite is the strawberry or the chocolate peanut butter.
I really loved Blue Bunny growing up. Do they have Blue Bunny here? But Blue Bunny chocolate ice cream was the only chocolate ice cream I ever liked. I haven't seen it in my grocery store. But quality. All right. Let's move back up to your list, Natasha.
Yes. Quentin Tarantino films. I think are overhyped. I mean,
they are really hyped, but I really just always get a kick out of his humor, like the violent humor.
I only really like one of his films, and it was the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I don't love...
What?
Like, what one do you love?
I think The Hateful Eight is his most well-written film.
Meh. I don't love Kill Bill. I don't love Django. It takes a lot for me to be like,
Kill Bill 2?
It's fine. It's just very, I don't love the gore.
Perfect film. Okay.
I don't love the gore.
The gore to me feels very tongue in cheek. Like, it feels preposterous on purpose. And I always look at it as comedic. Because I can tell, like, he's doing it in a cheeky way most of the time.
Yeah. But, like, he's just not like my cup of tea.
Yeah,
he's
it's all like not... a cup of tea thing. For sure. And I just find it very funny, his timing and the way he does reveals and stuff. And I can totally understand it's not everyone's cup of tea. And I know he uses a lot of questionable language that he doesn't have to use a lot of the time. I really do love his directing style, and the storytelling style with the chapters. Like, it really feels bookish to me.
I can see that. I know that you've drawn inspiration from that too.
I have. I have very much.
The chapter titles.
It's not like about, because there are aspects of his films that I'm like, okay, this is a lot. But like, there are things that I find really fun in storytelling and that I enjoy a lot. And it's in like the cheekiness and the characters and the humor and like the way he does reveals and chapters and all that stuff. Yeah. All right. In my list, I've got doodles as pets, which I don't think is overhyped. I just think it's so hyped that I'm just like, everyone has a doodle now. Like, and I understand the draw because they're hypoallergenic and they are very happy dogs and easy to train and smart. I have one of like the sassier doodles, an Aussie doodle, but like a golden doodle is like a happy, happy boy.
There's been like so many, I've been around a lot of golden doodles because a lot of people get them because they think that the reason is that they're so smart and they're so hyperactive. Like they are just like these huge teddy bears that will like come running in the room and knock people over.
Yeah. They have no sense of how big they are when they're big puppies.
I've seen so many videos on TikTok being like, they're like, stop buying golden doodles. Like, they're not great for every person out there.
I like my doodle with some more personality. Like, Olivia's doodle feels dumb compared to Bellamy.
It needs more poodle than golden.
Well, he's actually, I think like he's like a good mix, Joey, of doodle and golden. But I've seen ones that are more poodle than golden, like Sandwich the doodle on Instagram. He's more poodle than golden. But Olivia's dog is like a 50-50 looking golden doodle. Bellamy's definitely more poodle. And poodles are sassy, but very smart. but yeah, anything with poodle in it, I'm like, I love it. Hypoallergenic, doesn't shed. Smarties.
I love how you put it on your list, though.
I like, just think they're so hyped. Like, literally, they're everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to acknowledge the hype of doodles. All right. You want to pick something off listener list?
Yes. Coachella.
This one is so hyped. And like the actual going of Coachella sounds like not fun.
It just sounds unnecessary. Like you don't, I put music festivals down, but like this is just like a better example because Coachella is just one. It's hot. It's hot and dry. It's dirty.
I don't know if you guys know this.
It's the middle of the desert, and like your big performances don't happen until the very end of the night. So like you're there just wasting away the day, all day, getting drunk, getting dehydrated. You have to pee in porta potties. No, thank you.
That really sounds bad.
All of these, everyone comes in these very outlandish outfits. And I'm like, you're gonna walk all day in a music festival in that look? That just doesn't sound fun to me.
Also, and I feel like people who are coming from out of town are not prepared for like the heat of that desert.
Yeah.
Because it's when it's hot, and I guess Coachella doesn't happen at peak hot times, right? It happened in winter.
No, it happens in April, so it can be like super duper hot.
It can be hot. So if it is peak hot, it's the type of hot where you want to wear more clothes to cover your skin so you don't like faint and die. You know, it's that kind of hot, like baggy desert clothes.
And people don't know, like, to park at Coachella or like to Uber around in that place is a nightmare. Because if you park, you're going to park. You have to park so fucking far away. And then you have to walk like 2 miles into the festival. And people don't know that.
I bet they also don't know about the porta potty situation going in.
Like, no. There's people who camp out and they are stinky.
Yeah. Yeah. Gabby says, I bet they don't sunscreen their ears. Yeah. They probably don't. And they really need to. They're just like out in the sun all day. If I had to do that, I would bring an umbrella to be my portable roof at all times because I would die in the sun.
Yeah, it's just, it's a stinky, sweaty, uncomfortable, tiring adventure.
I would go for Taylor Swift.
I don't even know if I would. At this age, probably not. If you go, fine, I'll maybe go. But I would only go in for that performance.
Yes.
Yes, I would go for the Taylor Swift.
And then I would rent a house with a pool so I can just be by the pool the whole time.
Abby, the total 180. That is what would have to happen to get me to go to Coachella. All right. Also on our list here, Stanley Cups, the listeners list. A lot of people said Stanley Cups, and I think that was hilarious because my mom was been so excited about her Stanley Cup when she got it, and I didn't even know what a Stanley Cup was. And then, yep. Natasha, at your birthday, I think Danielle had a Stanley Cup, and I was like, lol, y'all in your Stanley Cups, and she really put up like a really nice essay about why her Stanley Cup was so great.
Gabby say she's literally like, just water. Said, why is the hockey final overhyped?
Oh my God. Gabby, that's yeah. why I was so confused. They're called Stanley Cups. And I was like, isn't that the hockey trophy that they keep adding to every year? My mom's like, no, it's a special water bottle that keeps your water very cold for days or okay. very hot for days. And I was the like, thing is then when will it ever get cold enough to drink?
This technology has been in practice for a very, very long time. Us Americans are very obsessed with our reusable water bottles.
Giant
that happen.
Water bottles.
Yeah, and I have been obsessed too. I don't really love the insulated cups, and it's basically just an insulated cup that can fit in your cup holder in the car. That's the why car. People love them so much. And then it has a straw. The problem is that and it has a little handle. So when you're like trying to and you're getting to like to go out and leave the house and you're having like your keys, your bag, all the stuff in your hands and your Stanley cup, if it tips a little bit and the water's full, it fucking leaks everywhere. So like yes, I've had a hydro flask, I've had lots of off-brand things, and honestly there's even a new cup that outdoes a Stanley cup now because it has a little suction thing on the straw, so you can still have your straw action but it's not going to spill everywhere. I just don't get it. Everyone is like, people are fanatical about Stanley Cups. Like, they will sell them out for days. If there's like a special color coming out, they have to get the special cover. There's people who have like fucking 20 Stanley Cups. You don't need that many.
JJ is on the Stanley Cup train. Listen, they're overhyped, but your ice will stay for days. But then Katie's like, what drinks do you leave laying around for days before you finish it? This is like for when you're stranded in the desert, Katie, and you need your water to be cold for days. This is for Coachella.
Yeah, I love my Starbucks cups. That's what I like to use with its straw. I mean, I get it. It's cool that your ice stays for days. But there's
Danielle
also so many other brands.
The thing is, yeah, there's so many brands of water bottles. My thing with reusable water bottles, especially if they stay for days, like I would be too afraid to drink that after 24 hours. Like it was sitting in my water bottle. And
well, like the thing, you refill it with the ice. That's yeah. what they mean, not just like the liquid yeah. sitting in there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I don't know. I just also wouldn't want to drink from the same straw after 24 hours. That's my problem with all reusable water bottles. I'm too much of a germaphobe to like keep using them because I feel like I can't truly clean them. And a lot of them aren't dishwasher safe. And I just feel like they're not clean.
I have bought so many Trevis cups from Disneyland that have like a cute little wrap on the side of it. And I'll put them in the dishwasher and they're ruined.
See, I hate that. Why make anything that's not dishwasher safe in 2023?
Katie says she definitely boils the straws. I've never done that.
I love that idea, but would I actually take the time to do it? I don't
and
know.
Do I have a pot big enough?
Yeah, I was just going to say, does it have to be like a special tall pot? Like, I got to get like a cylindrical pot to like just boil straws in. And then I could get reusable water bottles. I have a bunch of silicone straws that I've...
and I can't, I put them in the dishwasher and then they taste like soap. So like, I'm afraid to use them now. But maybe I should boil those fuckers.
Yeah.
Then I can use them. That's a good idea. Thank
you, Katie. Is it going to melt it though?
Oh, I don't know. It shouldn't. I don't know what temperature silicone melts at, so.
Katie says no. Does that apply for every single straw, though? I have multiple different types of straws.
All right. Can I talk about something before? We have like 10 more minutes here, and I need to talk about these little designer tea candles that are like 2 inches big that are super expensive. That you can't light without worrying about setting the house on fire. And I just don't understand why. They're like a trend to put in bridesmaids' boxes, these little candles. What do you ever use those little candles for? They are asking for your house to be set on fire. I will only use a candle that's in a big glass jar where I definitely won't knock into it or accidentally put my arm over it and set something on fire.
Yeah, I agree. I don't understand. And like, does it actually smell good or is it just like supposed to be pretty?
The expensive one smells good, but it's this big. And it's like, when am I ever going to light it? I'm afraid to light it because it doesn't have a protective covering and it's little. Like, I will set a fire with that. And I just feel like it's a waste of $30 for this 2-inch candle that we can't ever light. Like, you know what I could see this being good for? Like that one day where you're proposing to someone and you need to put a bunch of candles out. But also, you might set your house on fire and die.
So. Yeah, they're used in weddings and stuff, but they go out really quickly.
Katie said they were invented to stick under the teapot to keep it warm. Wow, interesting. But like in this century, there is no purpose. Yeah, I don't know what the brand is that Olivia got, but for her bridesmaids, but specifically, it's supposedly like a really nice candle brand from Nordstrom or Neiman Marcus or something. And I'm just like, I don't know. I feel like I would have enjoyed socks and its
socks.
I love my Bath and Body Works candles. Natasha, like what do you need to talk about on your list?
What do I need to talk about? Okay, I'm probably gonna say this one. It's gonna make people angry. High School Musical.
This doesn't make people angry. It's funny. I feel like you just like didn't go. You haven't gone through your like this is hysterical. High School Musical is funny.
I didn't watch it when I was of age, nor did I watch the Disney Channel. So there's like so many things. Like I was at Disneyland the other day with a few friends,
you just
and they're
missed
like,
it.
I did. I missed it. So I'm not a part of the hype. So I understand. So when people talk about it and they start singing the songs, I'm like, what? And then I did watch
Natasha,
the first one.
It's like. Okay.
I watched the first one and I thought it was boring. I was on my phone for most of the time.
Okay. This is like when you want someone to watch Twilight and they watch it by themselves. You have to watch it with me. This is like me watching Lord of the Rings.
I guess you're right.
You need a buddy.
It was boring. And I don't love Vanessa Hudgens. She really bugs me.
So funny. I can't. But I didn't get it when I watched it by myself. I was like, this is stupid, because I was just like taking it seriously and expecting it to be good. And then I watched it again in like 2020, and it was so funny. And then the second one was hysterical. Zac Efron is a gem.
Yeah, it just gave me the cringe.
Yeah, you were watching it wrong. Let me do it. We should watch it together.
All right. Bet on it, Grammy performance, Gabby says.
For real. Bet on it is my favorite thing. Like, it just makes me so happy. It was my pump-up songwriting book 3. Okay. We'll take one last one from the listener list here. And I just, someone wrote Biore skincare chokehold of the 2010s, the pore strips that go over your nose. And I do agree that those were so weirdly hyped for such a weirdly lengthy amount of time. Did you ever use those?
I use them like just recently too.
Really?
Yeah, I stopped using them after I figured out that there's other better options for your skin. But yeah, I used to love doing that.
I was like, this does nothing. I just didn't understand them at all.
Do you get like gunk pulled out of your nose when you use them?
Nothing happened when I used to use them. I don't know.
Wow. You must have a gunk-free nose.
It irritated my skin. All right. Let's move on to Mary Kiscliff. This week at Mary Kiss Cliff, I have Gilmore Girls edition down. So we've got Luke Danes, Jess, and Logan. I didn't bother putting the first one because I don't like him.
Okay, this is easy. I'm going to marry Luke.
Wow. Marry the grump.
Yes. And I'm going to kiss Jess, and I'm going to Cliff Logan.
Interesting. I am going to marry Jess and kiss Logan.
What?
And probably Cliff Luke.
No!
Luke gets on my last nerve with his lack of communication skills. And I'm obsessed with Jess. So, and Jess has evolved a lot in his time across the Gilmore Girls.
I did not like Jess for the longest time.
I was immediately obsessed with him because he was Milo Ventimiglia, but I could see not liking him for a while. But Luke gets on my last nerve sometimes. I can't. I love Logan, and if I wasn't afraid he would be cheating around every corner, then maybe I would marry him. But
Logan's an ass.
Well, he evolved a lot too, and now, but he
no, isn't. He doesn't.
Except for the cheating thing, then yeah,
that's terrible.
That's an issue, so that's why
anyways.
I'm not
Katie says
marry
that
him.
I am correct in my decision making. That's all I need.
Well, Ash said she'd marry Jess in a heartbeat. So, all right, we're gonna move into the chapter chat. We've been rereading ACOTAR, A Court of Thorns and Roses by Sarah J. Maas at snail speed. And we are up to chapters 36 and chapter 37. So do you want me to walk us through chapter 37 or 38? Which one would you like to do? Or 36 or 37? Oh, 36. Why are these chapter numbers so fucked up on the dock?
Yours are. Mine are perfect.
Okay. Which chapter would you like to do?
I'll go through the first one.
All right.
Okay. These were the best chapters. I was I literally could not wait to read these. So I put them on yesterday. And I was like, so good. Okay, so in chapter 36 we get our first fucking action scene finally, and so it's the trial with the worm, so it's worm time now. And so this is Feyre's first trial, and she's getting walked into a dungeony type of place with a crevice, and there's different channels and stuff, and she gets flung into this pit.
It's an arena. Yeah, that they've carved this maze into, and it has
out of mud,
out of disgusting shit mud that smells. So it's poop mud. Yes. I feel like this is the worm's home.
Yes. So she gets flinged into the pit or the arena by the adder, and then Amarantha goes she says, "Oh, Rhys has said that you're a huntress. And so
she says, hunt this.
Huntress, hunt this.
Yeah. Okay. Katie said the Alaskan bullworm from SpongeBob. Yes. And it's also the worm from Men in Black 2. That's exactly the worm.
That's the exact worm.
But that's the same worm we see in SpongeBob 2, just in cartoon form. Also, wait, do we see those worms in that movie with the sand? Dune?
Dune? Yeah.
All right.
With their little like boom, boom.
Yeah. They're a popular monster.
They are. They also have worms in Lord of the Rings, too.
Gross. So anyway. Oh my gosh,
Alex just showed me this video on TikTok. Sorry, it has to do with a worm. It's about like God giving legs to things. And he's like, centipede, I give you 100 legs.
And he's picturing the worm trading their voice for legs.
And then he goes, and then you, millipede, I give you 1,000 legs. And then
worm. Millipede's not a million legs?
No. And then worm, thinking that it's going to get 1,000,000 legs next. Oh, I give you slime. What? I don't get 1,000,000 legs? No. So stupid.
Why is it so funny?
I know. I have to send you the video.
All right. Okay, so she wants her to hunt this worm. She gives her no tools.
Nothing.
And everyone's taking bets that she's going to die within a minute or 5 minutes. And Rysand is the only one that bets on her to win.
We don't figure that out until the end.
I knew it as soon as she said one person. I was like, it's Rysand. but do you want to walk us through the challenge here? She goes through the whole
we start off with the whole trial. We're like, okay, what the fuck, Pharaoh? What are we going to do here? And at one point...
is blind.
What?
The worm's blind.
Well, I'm getting there.
Oh, sorry.
Stop it. Oh my gosh. Okay, so she gets stuck for an instance, and I just think of like when Hermione, Harry, and Ron fell into like the slithering snakes. What are they called?
Slithering snakes, you mean the plant?
Yeah.
Okay, it wasn't a snake.
They look like little black slither snakes. What are
it's
they called?
It's a plant. Devil snare.
Yeah, so she gets like in a devil snare type of situation.
No, she doesn't though. She gets in a crevice and she gets stuck. It's like a mud crevice.
Well, and then she falls through.
Yeah, but it's a crevice like an Inception when it's like getting smaller and then she's stuck in it.
Yeah, and then it opens up and she falls through.
And she's
like, I'm going to get eaten. And then she doesn't get eaten. And that's when she figures out, okay, wait, the worm is blind. So it can only sense me through smell.
Yeah. So then she falls into this pit that's full of bones.
Yeah, and she like tries to figure out how to get out of it. So she gets some bones and like shoves them into the wall. We're like, okay, cool. Yeah, she's going to get out. And then she walks up one and they're all like, what's she doing? And she like steps off of it and she's like, wait. And then she starts breaking the bones on her knee and sticks them in. And there's like these broken.
Can we just talk about the idea of breaking bones across your knee? Like that sounds so incredibly painful.
And yeah, she's like, I stopped doing it and I just broke it with my foot.
And I'm like, okay. Ow!
Gosh. So now she has this like this trap that she's built with all of these broken bones that are like skewering up, skewering through the side.
Yeah.
And she pulls herself out. Well, meanwhile, Amarantha is like, you're ruining everyone's fun, which also helps her to realize that the worm can't see her. She's, what an idiot. So
then she rolls around in the mud to get her.
Yeah,
smell.
She rolls around in the mud and she covers herself with the stinky poop mud.
Yeah, it reminded me of in the first season of Walking Dead when they figure out, mm-hmm. yeah, that they like if they smell like the zombies, then they can't be seen by the zombies, so they like smear all the disgusting zombie shit all over them.
And so at that point, Reese is like laughing because everyone's confused, And he explains that she's becoming invisible to the worm. His eyes twinkle and she glowers at him.
Building a trap.
And she glowers at him and then he like laughs and then she also like gives him the finger or I think curses at him or something.
And then she climbs out of the pit.
She climbs out of the pit and she creeps over to the worm, slashes her hand, right?
No, so like she hits a bone on when she's running, I think, and like slashes, it gets in her arm. Like she's putting bones in the wall around all the turns so that she can use them as handhelds to like throw herself around faster. And I think she hits one.
Like, well, she has to lure, well, she hits it on the way out, but she slashes her hand first to get the worm's attention.
Oh, okay.
And then she's like waiting for it to move and she doesn't see it. And then Lucian's like, to your left. So he like yells at her. And that's when she's like pulling herself through and she slashes her arm with one of those bones.
And like the bone gets in her arm. Like, it's in her arm.
Tamlin, by the way, is doing absolutely nothing at this point. Like he's just stone-faced, giving nothing, not helping her at all.
Yeah.
And it's so fucking frustrating. And she's like, I'm doing this for my love.
I know, to prove her love for him. And that Lucian has the balls to, like, scream out to help her, but... That's it. And you would think that, like, if anyone's going to do that, it's going to be Tamlin.
Yeah, like she's not going to kill him. Amaretha's not going to kill Tamlin.
Yeah.
She's going to kill Lucian. He doesn't matter to her.
It's just, like, so annoying. And afterward, he has, like, a glimmer in his eyes of, like, triumph. But it's like, he did nothing. Okay?
Stupid.
So she lures the worm to the trap. The worm falls on all of the skewers and dies. And everyone's like, whoa. Oh my God. I think they're cheering like, as she runs.
Yes, they are. And then like as she like gets out of the arena and she like starts walking towards him, she's like, I did this for my love.
And she throws a bone at Amarantha and it lands at her feet and the mud sprays up on Aramantha's dress. I was like, bold move. I don't know why we are poking the beast.
Yeah, Amarantha's like naughty.
She's like, I guess anyone could have done that. She says that about her defeating the worm.
that's when we find out that only one person bet that she would actually win. And it was
Rhysand. So then we get to chapter 37. And she's in her cell dying because she has a... So she realizes as she's being dragged away that her arm is just open and there's a piece of bone sticking out of it. And she faints because like all the adrenaline's wearing off and she
is in
now
so much
can
pain.
Feel everything. Yeah. So she passes out. They chuck her into the cell. She's just dying. Lucian doesn't show up because it turns out that as punishment, Lucian was given 20 lashes and Tamlin, who, negotiated his punishment. Yeah,
he broke his brooding for Lucian.
For Lucian.
Not...
I know. Like if I were Tamlin, I can't with him. So he has to deliver those lashes though. So Tamlin has to lash Lucian 20 times, but no one comes to visit her. And when she's thinking about it later on, she's like, Lucian might not even realize that I'm gonna die really fast. He doesn't know anything about human. And it's like, no, I think Lucian's just kind of like a dick. And he has moments where like there's a conscience that shines through, but he doesn't put other people in front of him often. Like, I think. So she's dying of infection and she's like, am I dying? I don't know. And then Rhysand shows up and this is very interesting. And I'm like, I'm still, I don't know how I feel. He says, I will heal your arm. You're dying. I will heal you in exchange for.
Well, hold on. Yeah. That's what I found interesting because he's like, I'm here to heal you. And then he didn't even like say anything, you know, he didn't say like I'm for an exchange for anything. And then she's like, for what price? So she's the one who introduces.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, so you've learned well. So I think he takes that opportunity to do that. I don't think he was meaning to make the deal.
I don't know. I'm skeptical because he didn't have to make the deal. He could have been like, no, I'm just going to heal you.
Like, that's true.
But he takes it and he says, 2 weeks of your month, you'll live with me. And it's like this custody deal. And he's like, 2 little weeks of every fucking month of your life. I was like, that's half of every month. That's half your life. That's half of everything. He's like, just two little weeks. And she negotiates. She's like, 5 days. And he's like, 10 days. And then she goes, a week. And he takes a week. But before this, she doesn't even want to take this deal. She's like, I'm just going to wait. He's like, are you banking on Lucien? Because he's been punished and Tamlin does nothing. So you're probably going to be dead. He's trying to, like, he doesn't want her to die. So he's trying to, you know, coax her into taking the deal right now. And I don't know if he ever would have even left in that moment where he said he was going to leave. Like, I think that was his bluff. Because he mm-hmm. already knows that the mating bond has happened between them.
No, it hasn't happened.
Yes, it does. He feels it immediately.
No, he doesn't. He feels it at the end of the book. I just reread that accidentally online. But, like, he feels it when he's saying goodbye to her.
He talks about knowing it the second that they first talked.
I think he feels an inkling or something that's drawing him towards her, but I don't think
maybe
he
it hasn't
feels
locked
like,
into place.
Yeah.
But like he knows it's coming from the beginning.
Yeah, Katie says it snaps in place at the end, but he has a hunch the whole time.
Like he can feel it. Like, because he talks about it. I remember him talking about like the first time he ever saw her.
I think there's something that's drawing him towards her and he's like, okay, what? But he also doesn't know that like fairy, like humans can become fairies yet. So I don't know,
but they do know about the magic when they all drip a magic because that's how they save her. I don't know. We'll see. But I know he talks about like, he's a smart guy. He knows. Even if it hasn't snapped, I feel like he knows.
Well, like, yeah, because like why else would he make a deal just because he really emphasized the word you. He's like, I want to make a deal in exchange for you for 2 weeks.
Yes.
So like why would he want just a weak, you know, human in his house for 2 weeks?
Yeah. But okay. When she's saying no, all right, before they make the deal. He twists the bone in her arm three times and laughs and says, this is the last time he'll extend his assistance. And I know he's like trying to like push her to think that she's dying and he wants her to say, just do the deal. But like, what the fuck? What the fuck was that?
Like this unnecessary amount of pain that she's already in. He's just like pushing her to be like, I guess he doesn't want her to waste away, but still.
Yeah, I know what he's doing. He's like trying to push her to the edge to be like, you're dying, but like you're torturing her. So.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel. But anyway, then they negotiate down to 1 week a month and they shake hands. She's healed. She kind of passes out for a minute. She looks, she wakes up and she's got the tattoo on her arm. She's like, ah, what's this? Get it off. She's like, oh, wow, you're so grateful, you humans. And then she gets scared about how Tamlin's going to react to this because Tamlin has anger issues and she can just see him like with his claws coming out when she sees that she made a deal and just see him saying like, what were you thinking? You're so stupid. Meanwhile, had she not done this, she would have died. So if I were Tamlin and I wanted my true love to live and she made a deal to be saved, I'd be like, thank God you did that or else you would have died. Like, you saved your life. But she's, like, worried he's going to be upset because he has, like, these jealousy, possessive issues. And she's right.
Yep.
Sad times. Mm-hmm. Well, that is chapter 36 and 37. Natasha, did you have any other thoughts?
Nope.
Nope. Well, I'm good. That is our show today. We are off to record Fangirl Tea Time. If you aren't a patron yet, you can gain access to all of our Fangirl Tea Times by becoming a patron at the Team Jacob level or higher. There is a link to that in our show notes. Thank you all so much for watching. We want to thank Alex Polis and Jake Needham, who edit our podcast. And our music is by Cole Jenkins with vocals by Heather Traska. We release episodes every Friday. Thank you so much for being here. I'm Christine.
I'm Natasha.
And we will see you next time. Bye.
Bye.